This is the best of Counterthink with Mike Adams.
You're in for a treat today. Welcome to the new show, Counterthink. I'm your host, Mike Adams, here on Infowars.com. This is a brand new show. You are watching episode one, and I invite you to spread the word. You know, Alex invited me to have a show on Infowars, and I said, "What? Really? What? A show? What kind of show do you want me to do?" He said, "Look, do whatever you want to do, because you know you're smart. You do the research. You focus on science and technology and medicine, things like that. Do whatever you want to do." So I said, "Heck yeah! We all have to join the Infowar to get the truth out there and really question the establishment on big issues." So this show, by the way, the format is we don't really talk about today's news headlines. I mean, this show actually airs on Sundays, but we'll have episodes at counterthink.com, by the way, so you can watch them anytime. The thing is, this is not about today's headlines. This is about a deep look into big issues of our day. We're going to talk about the stock market. In fact, today we have Peter Schiff on joining us later in an upcoming segment to talk about, you know, the crash that's coming, to talk about how to diversify your portfolio, to talk about gold, those kinds of things. But we're also going to cover many, many other topics on this show. I mean, science, medicine, technology, nutrition, health, disease prevention, preparedness, home gardening, homeschooling, liberty, you know, all these things, secession, civil war. We're going to talk about all these issues, and we're doing it from a counterthink point of view. And let me define what I mean by that. You know, you've got the mainstream think, as I call it, which is sort of the dumbed down masses, whatever they're told to believe, whatever lies they're told to swallow by the establishment media. You know, they're told that Trump is a horrible, evil person all the time. They're told that the stock market can never crash. It can only go up. I mean, it might have small corrections, but those are discount buying opportunities, you know, and you should keep buying no matter what. You're told lies. Like, you're told that the NRA is evil and the NRA kills children. The NRA is the oldest civil rights group in this country, by the way. But the mainstream is delusional. The mainstream is mentally ill. The mainstream lacks logic and facts and reason. And they don't even understand history. We're going to do a show on history, by the way. You know, the history of human civilization. Lots of different shows coming up. But here, what we do is we challenge the establishment. We say, well, wait a minute, let's find a guest and let's bring on a guest. Sometimes it might be a book author. Sometimes, you know, an outspoken person like Peter Schiff, like we're having today. Let's bring on a guest and ask them some tough questions and let them answer the establishment with a counterthink point of view. That's what this show is all about. And I guess, you know, Alex wants me to do this show because I happen to also question the establishment on just about everything, which is natural if you think for yourself. If you just think for yourself, you're going to have questions about everything. You're going to have questions, you know, about the abortion industry, questions about depopulation, eugenics, genocide. You're going to have questions about quantitative easing. You're going to have questions about the military-industrial complex. And we have the right to ask questions. And that's why I said yes and agreed to do this show, because we must exercise free speech in this country if we hope to defend it. In the same way that we have to exercise the Second Amendment, if we hope to have a Second Amendment remaining in this country, you know, after the Democrats are trying to take away our guns and confiscate them, we have to exercise the First Amendment too. And that means we have the right to ask questions, intelligent questions, informed questions, and to bring on guests who themselves are experts in their areas. And that is the focus of this show, Counterthink. And, you know, it's not just about my opinion. I'll give you my opinion from time to time, of course, in the context of the show. But this is really a show about bringing on other guests who talk about their areas of expertise. And that's why this show it's super exciting for me to do this. And I hope you enjoy the show format. I hope you share the show, spread the word. We've got a lot of great topics coming up. The website again is counterthink.com. This is episode one, so not going to be a lot of episodes there yet, but over time we'll have more and more episodes, more and more guests, one episode per week here on Infowars. Spread the word. Counterthink is the name of the show. I'm Mike Adams. I'm your host. And when we come back, we'll talk about the stock market and the counterthink view of investing. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break here on Infowars.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
This is the best of Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams, live on InfoWars.com.
If I told you that a former president of the United States acted with malice to deliberately share key military secrets with enemies of America, you might be surprised to hear that, unless you know the true history of Obama. And the Obama Deception, of course, is one of the films produced here by Alex Jones at InfoWars many years ago. And that film dared to point out the ways that Obama was planning to be a traitor, to destroy America, to destroy America economically. But what we now know many years after that film, and remember, that film came out at a time when you couldn't say anything negative about Obama without being labeled a racist. Even if you just disagree with his policies, you didn't disagree with his skin color. You didn't disagree with his heritage. You could say, oh, I think Barack Obama is a handsome, charismatic man, but his policies are evil and he's a traitor to America. And they would scream, racist, you're a racist. You're like, what's racist in that statement? Nothing. Obama, he's a charismatic person. He's got charisma. That's one reason he was elected. So back in 2017, I did call Obama a sleeper cell traitor and an enemy of America. And this story got a lot of attention from many people who agreed with it. And of course, a few trolls who attacked it. But today I'm going to lay out for you point by point why I believe Obama is a traitor and why I believe he needs to be arrested, indicted, given a fair trial, and given a chance to defend himself, because I believe in due process. I believe in the rule of law in America, but I also believe that Obama violated that law. So let's get into it. First thing, Obama delivered a U.S. military drone to Iran, and I believe he did it deliberately. This was December 2011. It's called the RQ-170 Sentinel, and it was claimed by the fake news media that this was a GPS spoofing incident that said that Iran had spoofed the GPS controls for that drone and guided it into a runway, capturing it fully intact. Let me tell you why that's total nonsense. The GPS signals are military encrypted signals. You'd have to be able to break, I don't know how many bits it is, maybe 512-bit or 1024-bit encryption. You'd have to be able to break that encryption in order to control that drone. I don't think Iran has the ability to break that encryption. I don't even think the Russians have the ability to do that. In fact, America doesn't. You'd have to have a quantum computing system in order to break it. You'd also have to be able to interfere with those signals at very high altitude, because the drone, let's say this desk is the surface of the Earth and the drone is flying up here at, let's say, 40,000 feet, which they're capable of flying at. And then the satellites are much, much higher, of course. The GPS satellites are in orbit, not quite geostationary orbit. They're not that far away. They're closer, but they are, you know, miles above the Earth, we'll say, many miles. You'd have to interfere with the signals between the satellites and the drone. So you'd have to interfere with the signal up at very high altitude. I don't think Iran has the ability to do that, and I don't think they have the ability to break the encryption. I think the whole thing was faked, and I'm not the only one who thinks so. And by faked, what I mean is I think that Obama's military, some traitor inside the military, guided that drone into the runway at Iran and landed it there and gave it to the Iranians. And that was done on purpose. Now, I'm not the only one who believes this. Michael Savage, from his book Scorched Earth, also believes the same thing. And he said that an agent did it to us with one of our most advanced drones 2 years ago. He wrote this book, in 2013 or 2014 is when it came out. And in that book, Michael Savage was also talking about Obama delivering the U.S. Navy vessel to Iran again. So we have a second incident, January of 2016. We have the Riverine Squadron 1, which is based in San Diego. 10 U.S. Navy sailors were taken hostage by Iran as they captured the ship, which was said to have just sort of conked out and run aground. Actually, I'm sorry, it was two ships, two Navy Riverine boats, not ships, but small boats. They have advanced navigation gear. And so they have valuable technology on board that the Iranians wanted to be able to capture. In addition, this helped create an incident that made the United States look weak because the 10 sailors were required to go on camera. John Kerry apologized to Iran, and then Obama followed up with another apology, making it a massive propaganda win for Iran. Now, why is it that the drone and two riverine boats both ended up in the hands of Iranian officials? The answer is, it's not a coincidence. This was all done on purpose because Iran confiscated the GPS gear out of those boats before they released the boats back to the United States. They were after the GPS equipment. You know why they're after that? Because they could not break the encryption. So they needed to actually have the hardware because that hardware has the decryption circuitry in it. And by using that hardware, they could attach that hardware to some other vessel or some other airplane or even a missile system. And they could use U.S. military encrypted GPS signals on another vessel because they have that hardware now. So you see how Obama actually delivered this to Iran. And this is at a time when Iran was pursuing nuclear weapons ballistic deployment development. What a perfect vehicle to put that GPS equipment on, a ballistic missile. Use the U.S. military technology against U.S. allies such as Israel. And this was not long after Israel was, of course, assassinating Iranian nuclear scientists. And Israel and the United States had cooperated on the Stuxnet virus. The Stuxnet virus, of course, was built to be deployed and to invade the Iranian centrifuge systems and to cause errors to happen that would destroy the nuclear fuel without generating overt signs of failure until many months after it happened. So this was a way for Israel and the United States to delay the Iranian nuclear program. So there were elements inside the United States that are trying to prevent Iran from having nuclear weapons. And those are the, what we would call today, the pro-Trump, anti-Obama elements. But then there were other elements run by Obama that were trying to deliver nuclear weapons and other military technology to Iran. And Obama, of course, despises Israel. And he despises Netanyahu. And we'll get to that in a minute. So you've got two different factions hard at work. But one of the ways that Obama was doing this was by delivering technology to Iran. Back to Michael Savage from his Scorched Earth book. He says the whole thing was a setup. That's a direct quote of Michael Savage. He says, in my estimation, there's a double agent inside this. It's somebody inside the Obama administration who did this to the U.S. Navy. That agent did it to us with one of our most advanced drones 2 years ago. See, he's talking about both of these incidents. You may have forgotten that already because you have no press other than a few men left in the media, a few websites where you can find the truth, such as this one. Somebody in the administration, he says, sent our most advanced drone to Iran 2 years ago. It landed without a scratch, like a new Buick in a showroom. Our most advanced drone was delivered on a silver platter to the Iranians on the watch of that smiling puppet on the stage, that lying, smiling cafe singer getting away with murder and treason. He's talking about Barack Obama. And then he says, two boats suddenly conk out and run aground and they're rescued by Iran. The nine men and one woman aboard were detained by the Islamic Revolutionary Guards on Farsi Island. The unnamed sailor said it was a mistake. Quote, it was our fault and we apologize for our mistake. Nonsense. U.S. Navy vessels don't just run aground in Iran. They have advanced navigation and communications equipment. This was deliberate. Michael Savage wraps it up and says, my guess is that somebody gave the codes, he's talking about navigation codes, to the Iranians, who then jammed the boat's computer systems. The computer systems stopped the boats. They went aground and they were given to the Iranians on a silver platter. Our advanced technology, he says, was given to the Iranians just as it was with the drones. Then we see the apology and we hear John Kerry congratulating himself for his great relationship with the terrorists in Iran. And nobody in the media sees the bigger picture. Sound familiar? Well, there's much more to this. We'll get to the $1.7 billion in cash and the $33.6 billion in gold that was transferred to Iran under the orders of Barack Obama, who, again, I believe is a treasonous traitor to America. Much more as we come back on Counterthink.
This is the best of Counterthink with Mike Adams.
This is Counterthink with Mike Adams, right here on InfoWars.
Welcome back to Counterthink. Mike Adams here. We're continuing our discussion about how America is being invaded and how these left-wing socialist, fascist, communist, I'm not sure, Marxism, probably. Marxist is probably the best description. They want to end the free market system. They want to end privately owned companies. They want a centrally planned economy, as the communists do. And they want to abolish all the prisons and set everybody free who's a criminal. So they want America's streets to be running loose with murderers, rapists, arsonists, child traffickers, child molesters, I don't know, every violent criminal you can think of. They want them running loose on the streets because they say that imprisoning people is wrong somehow. That's bad. Somehow these leftists, I mean, Democrats, they're insane at this point, but they actually believe that if there's a minority person in prison, African-American or Latino person or what have you, that person should never be put in prison, that's mean, and that there should be sanctuary in America for all criminals. And they've already started the pilot program of this by having sanctuary cities where they say, hey, we're not going to follow federal law. We're going to protect murderers and rapists, especially when they're illegals. And even when there are court cases, we'll have juries in our city, like San Francisco, find them innocent. We'll do jury nullification of the entire system of law. And we the governors and mayors, I mean, Jerry Brown is part of this too in California. We governors and mayors will pass laws or refuse to enforce laws in order to protect illegals and violent criminals who are in our cities murdering and raping American citizens. This is how they betray America. This is what they're actively doing to try to destroy this country. And we're not even done with the list here. We got to talk about abolishing ICE. That's actually the bigger topic here. But think about if leftists get what they want, if they get their wishes, they would have the streets filled with violent criminals running around, raping, shooting, burning, destroying everything. There would be no prisons, and effectively there would be no police. Because what's the point of having police if you can't send anybody to prison? What's the point, right? And they hate the police. The left hates the police. They think that cops are all racist. They think cops are Nazis. You know, of course, they think all white people are Nazis too. They think everybody's a Nazi unless you're a radical, extreme, delusional leftist. But they will say that cops are bad and that prisons are bad and that private business is bad. And I'll continue this list here, but just stop for a moment and think. Have these left-wing people never thought about what would happen if they get their wish? Like, what kind of society do they really think it would be if you let all the violent criminals loose and you fire all the police? And you have no law enforcement whatsoever, total lawlessness in society. And I have to imagine these rich Hollywood white liberal actors living in their little mansions, thinking that they're so famous and so important. I just have to imagine, like, just this wave of machete wielding, you know, violent Latino criminals, MS-13 gang members, just like a swarm of locusts. Just sweeping through those neighborhoods, raping, pillaging, looting, stealing, and murdering, just burning everything and leaving, you know, with all the gold. Because that's what would happen. And it's strange to me that leftists have never thought about the repercussions of what would happen if they get what they want. It's like, be careful what you wish for, because you're wishing for your own suicide. You, leftists, you know, Hollywood people and others, you are wishing for suicide. You are begging to be raped and murdered and have your homes burned down and looted and pillaged and have your country overrun and have California taken back as part of Mexico. You are begging for your own annihilation, really, is what they're begging for. There's some twisted psychology behind all this. Maybe I'll get to that at some point here, too. But let's move on to the abolish the borders, because this is the big one. They're marching around the country saying abolish ICE. Essentially, they're saying that America should have no borders whatsoever, that anybody who shows up, anybody who just can hire an airplane to land at a community airport in Miami or something, or Texas for that matter, South Texas, if you just fly into Texas, then you're supposed to, what, be welcomed as a citizen and be given a driver's license and the right to vote, and you start getting welfare and Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security benefits too? Really? Yes, that's what the left wants. That's what they want. A human wave of people, they just walk across the border. Leftists say that, well, they should be welcome in America. They say there's no such thing as an illegal person. You can't have an illegal person. Everybody's welcome. And it just gets into this weird kind of new age talk, like, we're all the same. It's a total unification, you know, humanity, love everyone. And it's like, really, because you do know that a lot of these people are drug runners, child traffickers, you know, rapists, murderers, violent criminals. And they are not coming to America to be peaceful citizens and participate in a constitutional republic. I mean, some of them are, but there's also a very large number of people who are actually coming to America to steal and loot and run drugs and not follow our laws, as proven by the fact that they're violating the law in crossing the border in the first place. So this idea of abolishing ICE is saying that anybody, this is what the left wants, anybody who just shows up in America should be granted citizenship, benefits, and voting rights. And you know what? This would collapse our country. This would collapse our nation because it's not an equitable arrangement. It's not like people have a trade with America. It's not like immigrants come in and then they contribute to society and they go back and forth between different countries where freedoms are respected and where there's similar wages and all these things. They are coming in to milk our country. They're coming in to collect the entitlements. They're coming in to take jobs from American workers, especially African-American workers, and to send that money back down south through Western Union, which is what they do. I don't know how many billion dollars they send every year, but basically just siphoning cash out of the U.S. system, taking the jobs of American workers, sending that money south across the border. And on top of that, they're running drugs and they're committing crimes. And again, not all of them, but enough of them to make this a big problem. I got rear-ended on the road in Texas by an illegal who had no driver's license and no insurance. They just drive around all the roads with no insurance, no driver's license, and half the time they can't even drive straight. And they drive like they're driving in Mexico. It's insane. I mean, it's like they think the shoulder is another lane. That's not another lane. That's a shoulder. I mean, when you see people driving on the shoulder in Texas and they think it's another lane, you know, pretty good chance that's an illegal right there. But the police don't do anything about it. It's like they don't bother hauling them into court because the courts don't want to deal with them. It's like you can't enforce anything. Or at least that's the way it was under Obama. I mean, maybe things will start changing now. But the point is that leftists who want to abolish ICE, they want to see America invaded. They want to see America overrun. They're doing it on purpose. And they hate this country. They despise America. And they want to see America crushed and destroyed from within. And illegal immigration is the way that they want to accomplish that. It's a new style of warfare. And it's the kind of warfare that they're calling for because they despise this country. So there's a lot more to talk about here. We're under assault. Stay with us here on Counterthink. I'll be right back after this break to continue.
This is the best of Counterthink with Mike Adams.
It's Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Welcome back to Counterthink. Now, as you are using these alternative media platforms and alternative social media platforms, there's Gab. You know, Gab.ai is out there. Again, my video website, Real.video. It's like the YouTube alternative. You want to go directly to Infowars.com. Don't let Facebook feed you this information. Go directly to these websites. As you're doing this, it's crucial that you start to understand and share information about what the left is now demanding, because this is so important. I probably should have opened the show with this, frankly, but you need to understand what the left is now demanding, and then we need to highlight that in the way we communicate with others. Now, let me be very specific about this. The left is demanding that America be destroyed as a nation. They're demanding what they call no borders, no nations, no prisons, no profits, which means no free market. They also want no police, by the way. So we got to break this down. We got to understand this. There is no more mainstream leftists. The left has shattered. The left has gone radical, radical left. That is socialism / communism, fascism. Or people are walking away from the Democrat Party, as you've seen in the hashtag, you know, hashtag walk away. People are leaving the Democrat Party in droves. Because Democrats used to have, they used to be run by people who could at least present themselves as normal. Today, that's not even the case. They're not even normal. I'm not even sure some of them are fully qualified as humans in some ways. I mean, the fact that they don't have a consciousness and they lack a heart and they lack intelligence and so on is like, really? Are you sure you're a full person? Because you seem like you're a hollow shell of idiocy, you know, some of these people. It's incredible. But the left has shattered, you see. And so it's going radical left. Look at the election of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What else? You've got these so-called Democrat socialists, which are really just socialists, right? I mean, just because you elect socialists who steal all your stuff and rule over you as authoritarians, that doesn't mean it's democracy. That just means it's a bunch of socialists, you know, who are rigging elections and stealing your stuff and ruling over you. It's not democracy. It's fascism. Okay, let's just call it what it is. But this is what's taken over the left wing of the party. So normal Americans who used to be Democrats, and I'm thinking of like a guy I used to know, he passed away, but he was a doctor, a very intelligent guy, very cool guy. He used to go to Bruce Springsteen concerts, and he was an MD, a general practitioner, and he was a lifelong Democrat. And I think if he were alive today, he would be leaving the Democrat Party because he doesn't want any part of this radical left-wing Antifa burning the American flag, tearing down the borders, invading the country with illegal aliens, overrunning the White House, overthrowing elections. He wouldn't want any part of that. And there's a lot of people like him who are walking away from the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has become, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, socialism, fascism, communism, all those views are expressed there. But we have an incredible opportunity right now to highlight these things. When you're talking to people who, even if they are Democrats, you could probably open their eyes to a lot of this just by making them aware. Hey, you can say, did you know that now the hero, the new superstar of the Democrat Party, this Ocasio-Cortez, she's 28 years old, I think. She beat Crowley in this primary in New York. She's probably going to become a congresswoman. Do you know what she stands for? Do you know what the Democrat Socialists of America stands for? And you can just run down the list. No borders, that is no border enforcement, just flooding America with unlimited illegal aliens and refugees from Mexico, Central and South America, and even other countries. That's number one. That's what Ocasio-Cortez wants for America. Shutting down all the prisons. Literally, releasing all the prisoners. So all the violent murderers and rapists, muggers, you know, home invasion, thieves, whatever. All these rapists and murderers and baby killers and everything. They want them released onto the streets of America, and they want to destroy the police because they say police are involved in injustice. So they don't want police in America. They don't want prisons, and they don't want borders. In other words, they want Amerizuela, you might say. They want America to become Venezuela. That's why I call it Amerizuela or Calizuela for California because it's probably going to go there first. I mean, think about the society they want. Oh, and at the same time all this is going on, they want to crush the free market system. They want to outlaw private enterprise. So if they sweep into power, they want a government that comes in and seizes your business. That just takes private businesses away from owners and entrepreneurs all across the country, seizes your business, and then the government will run it. Of course, the government will run it into the ground because government bureaucrats, especially, you know, idiotic socialists like Ocasio-Cortez, they don't know anything. They are ignoramuses. They're illiterate about economics or how to run anything. That's why they run for office because they can't do anything in the real world. They just want to rule over people and steal their stuff and call it,
you know, what I'm going to call it equality. It's not equality unless everybody's equally impoverished and starving, like Venezuela. I guess that is one form of equality if you love Democrats and you like eating out of dumpsters or, you know, cooking up your neighbor's cat or sneaking into the zoo at night and chopping up a flamingo so you can not starve to death. I mean, that's Venezuela. And that's what people like Ocasio-Cortez would bring to America. This is what Democrats openly want. You see, it used to be that Democrats pretended to love America. They pretended. I mean, you go back in the 1990s, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, they were opposed to illegal immigration on the record. Even Obama in his early years, the first term, 2008 through 2012, he was opposed to illegal immigration. But today, the radical left demands illegal immigration. They demand ending the border enforcement. So when you talk to people about this, you can go online, you can find posters and protest signs. They say, abolish ICE. That means ending border control. That means allowing anyone to flood into the border, anyone at all. And of course, Democrats want to allow all those illegals to have citizenship, entitlement payouts, and voting rights. And if that happens for just 1 year, they will outvote you as an American forever. You will never get your country back, not without fighting for it. You know, I mean, you'll be outvoted forever. Your country will be taken over. Your country will be occupied, invaded, and overthrown. And that's exactly what the left wants, because they want to turn America into an authoritarian nation like Venezuela, where the masses are impoverished and enslaved, but there are a few politically elite, super wealthy, connected individuals at the top of the poverty pyramid who are running everything. And they're going to be called Democrats. And they're going to say they're fighting for equality, and they're fighting for transgender rights, and they're fighting for higher minimum wages. And they're going to do this while the country is absolutely crashing and collapsing into destitution, starvation, and probably civil war rioting nationwide. I mean, again, look at Venezuela. Look at North Korea. Look at the way these people have run, you know, Cuba. Look at Fidel Castro and the communist overthrow of Cuba. Look at the former Soviet Union, for that matter. Look at the Stalinist Revolution. Look at the Cultural Revolution in China with Mao. And many other examples of this throughout history. When radical leftists take over countries, they destroy innovation, they destroy wealth, they destroy economic abundance, and they always do it in the name of equality. And so all we have to do is point out to others now that this is the admitted plan of leftists. They openly call for abolishing all of these things, flooding America, taking away your private property, private business, having the government control and run everything and seize all your businesses, and the mask is off, you know? They openly call for this. So all you have to do now is point this out to others you know and help wake them up so that they too can walk away from the Democrats and help save America. All right, we'll continue this discussion with more strategies on the other side of this break. You're watching Counterthink with Mike Adams. Stay with us.
This is the best of Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on Infowars.com.
In examining what you're talking about overall, I think big picture, your message, it seems to me, is about community.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not a message about guns and survival. Really, it's about community, because that's the only way that we have self-reliance and survivability of unexpected events.
Right.
It's about meeting and training and getting to trust real people who are part of your local community.
You bet.
But many people right now are afraid to be associated with any kind of group that has a reputation of guns. I mean, there's so much anti-gun, you know, propaganda out there. You know, what would you say to people who are considering joining Oath Keepers, but they're not totally sure what it's all about? Is it their kind of group?
Well, everybody lives in a neighborhood. Everyone should see the necessity of a neighborhood watch to at least call the police. Then you can talk to them about CERT, You know, the ability to self-rescue for 72 hours, even FEMA recognizes you can't get outside help in fast enough. So you have to self-rescue. And so what I would tell them is that it's not just about guns. It's also about, you know, your medical, your water, your radios, your ability to do disaster relief, you know, and your self-rescue. All of that stuff is necessary. And you might have a hurricane. It could be an ice storm, a tornado, an earthquake. It's not just about, you know, bad guys coming to kill you.
Right, right.
Right. Although they do take advantage of all of those things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so many people live under the illusion of a civil society. So many people living in America today, that's all they've ever known. They've not lived outside the country. They've never been in the military. They've never seen combat. They've never seen, you know, collapsed countries,
right.
Third world countries. I mean, you want to convert a liberal to a conservative, show them Venezuela for 30 days.
Yeah, there
you know
go.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Instant, boom.
Or send them there.
Or send them there.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Or send them to Cuba for a while.
Right.
You know? But they think that things will stay safe and sane because that's all they've ever known.
Yeah, normalcy bias.
Yeah, so right. What would you say to those people right now?
Well, what can you say? I mean, you can try to point the way. But what I tell people is that, so say for example, if all your neighbors are asleep and they won't wake up, then what you have to do is say, okay, I'm going to at least throw a block party or a big summer bash or whatever you want to throw. And get to know all my neighbors and then find out who has what skill set so that when the time comes, I've got a plan in place how to utilize the talent pool that I have, even if they won't wake up now. And hopefully you'll find 2, 3, 4 of the people that can at least be a leadership core who sorts out a plan for the neighborhood and then stores away the things that they have to have that are hard to improvise, like water purification systems,
right.
Radios. So if your neighbors are just, you know, clueless, but you know the retired cops and the guys who are in the military, et cetera, in the neighborhood, the guys that are hunters, for example, you know the retired doctor, nurse, et cetera, you can store away the supplies that doctor might need, and you can have the radios, and you go to the guys and say, okay, you wouldn't listen to me before, but now, here's a radio, you got first watch. You and Joe are your first watch. So you want to at least have a leadership core and a plan, and then, like I said, store away the things that you know you're going to need that are difficult to improvise. Imagine what you would want to parachute in a grid down situation, and go ahead and store that in advance.
What about the people in the neighborhood who are so opposed to it that they would then try to loot your stuff? You know, how do you weed out those people from even knowing that you're talking about preparedness or survival?
Well, that's why you use a vanilla neighborhood watch. I mean, almost every police department has a neighborhood watch program. I would start with that first, and throw the block party, start a neighborhood watch, and then ease into it like CERT. Hey, you know. And for example, if you go and join a local volunteer fire department or search and rescue, now you can approach them not as an oath keeper or a patriot militia guy. You approach them as the local volunteer firefighter or local EMT or whatever. And you can say, I'm concerned about, you know, the ability for us to weather a storm, a tornado, ice storm, hurricane. And you start talking to them along the lines they can understand. You don't tell them you've got, you know, a year's supply of food. You just say, hey, let's make sure that we're squared away for self-rescue under CERT. Start a CERT team, get some CERT training in here, do a neighborhood watch, etc. Very vanilla. Let's talk about, you know, layers of trust and layers of information.
And isn't it interesting that the federal government itself is a massive prepper?
Right.
The government has, you know, underground tunnels and storage caves.
For itself,
caves.
Not for us,
for
though.
Itself,
yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And so it's funny because I remember during the Obama administration, people who were preppers were called anti-government, when in fact they were doing exactly what the government does, which is preparing for unexpected events.
Right.
So how can you be anti-government when you're doing what they're doing just on a local scale? But it's like the government says, you know, for itself, it's got like a 10-year underground city plan.
Right.
But for the public, it says 72 hours is enough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Really? 3 days?
Well, that's why. So the neighborhood watch is there primarily to protect your home. When it comes to community, like food distribution, I would use the church for that. You don't want to be handing out food supplies, or, you know, even as a charity thing, out of your own home. That's a big mistake.
That's a bad idea.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can do it out of your church. So that neighborhood watch, combined with the church security team, protects the church, and that church can be the distribution point for the food charity and aid, which it should be already anyway. I mean, a church should be like the LDS church. They should have a storeroom full of food.
That reminds me, you know the author named Joe Nobody?
Mm-hmm.
Ever
yeah.
heard of him?
Yeah.
So
SF vet?
Huh?
I believe he's a Special Forces veteran.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. He never told me that. But I asked him, I said, if you were a bad guy in a collapse and you were trying to take over somebody's home, how exactly would you do it? And he said, oh, it's very simple.
I'd send a child up to your front door to ask for food.
Yeah.
The minute you open your door, I take you out from 400 yards.
Yeah, snipe you. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't want to be a food distribution center because you're exposed.
Right. That's what you do at the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the community hall, the Grange Hall, whatever. But it's under armed protection from the, you got to have your community defense force. And we had to counter snipers like that. It's back to that neighborhood watch with teeth.
Right.
If you're actively patrolling, he's not going to be able to do that because he'll be worried about being killed.
Yeah. Well, but you got to have really well-trained people.
You do.
I mean, military experience typically.
Yeah.
To be counter snipers, especially, you know, nighttime. But then again, do you think that maybe the bad guys aren't as disciplined and aren't as well-trained as military guys?
For the most part. Yeah, you can get some rogue guys that are. But, you know, once again, it's the same answer, though. You need to have a community defense force, you know, but preferably people that are competent and trained in tracking.
Uh-huh.
And you track that guy down. You know, if he's actually out there sniping people, you hunt him down.
Right.
And of course, if he knows he's being hunted, he'll find someplace else to go play.
Yeah,
he's not going to stay right there and battle out with counter snipers and hunters.
No, that's a suicide wish.
Right.
Wow. I mean, this is all so serious for a lot of people. They're worried about what they're going to order at Starbucks for lunch, you know.
Yeah.
They're not thinking about this stuff.
And most won't, unfortunately, right?
Does that mean many of them won't survive? Or what do you think?
Well, I mean, like I said, they'll wind up having to ad hoc form up some kind of a neighborhood defense force. Eventually, they'll have to.
Yeah.
The secret squirrel prepper model will not work. Eventually, someone's going to figure out that you've got food. So if you don't get together with your neighbors, you're going to be dead, and that's what he's talking about. In a rural community, especially, it's even worse because you're isolated.
Yeah,
you know, isolated farms and ranches are easy to hit. So you must have a reaction force. You must have like in Africa, they, you know, air horns need to go off, a flare needs to go up. You need to be on your ham radio to your neighbors, and then a QRF's got to come in, and the bad guys will have to know they only have, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then they're going to be hunted. So they can't just lay siege to you like you see in his novels and other people's novels where they just wait for, you know, and lay siege. You don't want that. You must make them worry about someone coming up on their six to take them out while they're trying to raid your house.
But it seems like a decent-sized looting force, like 20 to 25 people maybe on motorcycles or something, if they were, you know, evil intent people, they could be very effective for quite some time going from ranch house to ranch house.
Until the ranchers unite, and then they're toast. Yeah, because you know the ingress and egress points, you know your choke points. You can bait them in.
We know the ranges.
Exactly. Right. You could have range flags all along your highway.
We all, I mean, my neighbors, we all know the ranges to the driveway. You know the range to the gate, the range to that tree.
Right.
We all know that stuff.
You know, I would look at the reaction to a lot of the Rhodesian farmers, what they would do for defense of their farms. A lot of good lessons learned there.
What? I'm not familiar with their defense.
Well, for example, they would put, like, on the corners of buildings, they would put a thin wooden piece that would stick out. So in order to shoot around that, the guy has to expose himself to shooting. You shoot right through that.
Oh,
so
right.
So you force him to shoot around. That's not, something that's not really cover. And you know it's not cover. He doesn't really know that. And one example. And they would use fences, too. You know, good fences and good lights. You light up everything around you. You blind the attackers.
Yes.
They can't see anything with bright, bright lights. And then you have a flanking force.
Right.
Like, you know, you put your air horn on and your neighbors come as a flanking force.
Wow.
So.
Well, there's a lot to learn. It sounds like your organization has a tremendous amount of knowledge and life experience in some very difficult situations.
Yeah, a lot of our guys have been multiple tours in Afghanistan, Iraq, all over the world, Central America. Absolutely. And also big city cops that have seen it, been there and done that and seen it.
Well, I thank you for taking all this time to spend with me and answer some of my crazy questions.
No sweat. Right.
And for those watching, I would just say check out oathkeepers.org, check out the organization, and if you want to be part of the security of your own community, consider joining Oath Keepers and meeting some really remarkable individuals who can help keep you alive if things go bad, and it looks increasingly like that may be the case. So thanks for watching. This is Mike Adams for Counterthink. The episodes are available on counterthink.com. and Reel.video, and Oath Keepers is at oathkeepers.org.